I really hope that from the words of that song that our story is about finding ways to please God in any way we can. Jeff, I thank you for leading that song. That was a really wonderful song, and appreciate the words and the meaning behind it. Part of our story also, I hope, involves having a victory in Jesus. As Christians, we ought to be rejoicing over the victory that we have won in Christ Jesus. To mention something that we heard, kind of a common thing that came up in the lesson this morning that Glenn preached, it was through the love, the mercy, the grace, and the blood of Jesus in which salvation was bought for us. We have victory when we are in Jesus. We should be joyful and thankful for this victory that we have. Sometimes I wonder if we, you know, live with that kind of joy and jubilation, you know, that we should possess. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 and 18, it's written here, it says, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." Not for Jesus going to that cross, we wouldn't have this salvation. We wouldn't have this victory in which that we can be proud of. You know, when we come to worship, we should find joy in worshiping God. And we should, you know, we should be thankful because He is the giver of that victory. We shouldn't come here worried or sleepy or unthankful, but with a smile on our face, releasing that depth of gratitude and praise that God rightfully deserves. Not just in worship, but in everyday life as well. We need that joy of victory to be in our lives daily. We need to maintain this healthy balance of, you know, seeing not only what we have accomplished, but as well what remains for us to accomplish. But how can we do that if we don't have the joy that is only found in Christ? While we are to be of this world, we are not to be... While we are to be in this world, we are not to be of it. The joy and happiness and the victory that is necessary, it only comes from Christ. And we get it from being in Christ and obeying His word and making the difference in the world that we as Christians are supposed to be. So tonight I want us to give our attention to the victory that we have in Christ. Tonight I'm going to talk about two things, what victory is not and what it is. And I'm hoping that as we go out day to day that these points, we can take them and use them as a way to find the joy and know what victory actually is and what it is not. Victory itself, it's not a one-time accomplishment. Victory is not a one-time accomplishment. Christianity, it's not a plateau of spirituality, but it's a mountain of maturation. You know, if you think about a plateau, you know, it starts to go up for a little bit and eventually it flattens out. It doesn't really go anywhere after that. But mountains, they start going up and up and up and just exceed heights that sometimes it looks like you look up high enough and you still can't see the top. Mountains, they look like they go on forever sometimes. But each mountain has a foundation. It builds in a way where it is solid and it's practically unbreakable. Mountains build up, they're high, and they reach some of the greatest heights. It's what our victory in Christ should be like. It should be solid, it should be unbreakable, but something that it feels like that we are constantly forever reaching for. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 reads that, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also had laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Victory is something that we constantly strive for. You know, in NASCAR, you know, you either have to win a race or finish well just to even get into the playoff round, into the playoff rounds. And in the playoffs, there's 9 races, and then at the end, there's that one championship race on top of the 26 regular season races. The driver who ends up winning that championship battles strong for all 36 races. He doesn't say, okay, I won this one race, so I'm in. He keeps building in each section. He tries his hardest for those 26 regular seasons. Then that 9 that's in the middle. And then that 1 that's right there on the top. If one is to win, they have to do the best of any driver. And you don't get there by slacking off, but by constantly pushing forward. No, I can think of some years, you know, some of us may have heard about the Tennessee Titans, that they're doing extremely well this year. But I can remember years, and maybe some of you can too, where the Tennessee Titans were basically garbage. They didn't have much of a team in any way. I can even remember when Kerry Collins, who used to be the quarterback for the New York Giants, he was there for couple of years and didn't get any better for him, unfortunately. But now they are one game away from going to the Super Bowl. They win next week, they punch their ticket. They're gaining the victory by continuing to fight every team every week, and they're proving themselves that, you know, that they're a force to be reckoned with, that they're not going to give up. Works the same with us. We have an opposing team that we're playing against. We have an enemy that tries to keep us from gaining our victory in Christ, and that's Satan. But if we've listened to anything that the Bible says or that God has to say for our behalf on reasons that we need to be faithful to Him, Satan is conquerable. Death itself has already been conquered. Jesus proved that to us on the cross. While we may experience some of these, you know, once-for-all victories in the battles that we fight, the warfare continues on as long as we continue to live. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. It reads, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." Until our physical lives are over, there is a spiritual battle that we are constantly fighting, one that we are constantly trying to do better at. And God wants us to recognize that in Him we will have many victories, but most importantly, that in Him we will have the victory. You know, I think, you know, we also get, with talking about, you know, victories, it's very easy for us to maybe, you know, you see it with, you know, different sports teams or anything that involves, you know, some big win or some big championship. But you see some players, you know, in the locker room after the film crew goes in there, and you can see some of these players on this emotional high, like, yeah, we won this big game, so let's go out this next week. And they're still stuck on that emotional high that they're the best team in the league, and they go out and they just get it handed to them, and they just lose. Kind of looked that way for the Kansas City Chiefs today when they started off down 21-0, basically against the Texans, but they have fought back. Victory is not an emotional high. Our walk with God, it has little to do with emotion, and it has everything to do with commitment and with choices. Being emotional, you know, about something, it does not mean that we are committed. It does not, just because we're emotional about something, does not always mean we are committed. You know, like someone, you know, like you could go, you know, cry in a corner because maybe your spouse isn't listening to you, or you can do something that, you know, you think you're doing right, but at the same time, if it's not being heard, maybe you're wondering, well, you know, what does that mean? What does it mean when they're not hearing me? You can't be emotional about those things. It doesn't always mean you're committed, but being committed is shown through your actions. It's through the actions we take is how we show that we are committed. We have many opportunities this year to show that we are committed to Christ and to the strengthening of the church. You know, we've got different events for the men coming up, different events for the ladies. Got an area-wide fellowship coming up that, you know, that the church, you know, is going to need a lot of help with to make it successful, and that we want the help, and we want it to be a success, and we want it to be uplifting to the others around us. There's many things that we have coming up that through our actions we can show that we're trying to gain that victory in Christ. Victory is possible in spite of our feelings and in spite of our emotions. You know, we may feel down about something, but when we're doing the right things, we're winning. When we're doing the things that God desires for us to do, we are winning. We're moving forward and we're progressing in a positive way and in a way that is deemed well in God's eyes. Another reason that victory is not an emotional high is that emotions can often be deceptive. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 reads that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. As well as Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If we go off of things that we think are right, but are not right in the way that God desires them to be, then what we're doing is wrong. If we're playing off our own emotions and our own opinions, there's not going to be progress. There's not going to be anything good that comes from our own thinking. Emotions, they can get us to think things are going well when they really aren't. And that's why it's important that our victory is based on what God desires and not on our emotions. Victory as well is not a one-man team. Victory is not a one-man team. Our victory over sin and death is by atonement, not attainment. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. in the context of this passage, it's talking about the condition of Jews and Gentiles. And it basically says that all of us would be lost if not for Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. If you have not Jesus, then you have no victory. We are not righteous. We are not separate. We have no victory unless we are in Jesus. We have sin in our lives, and because we have sin, we need Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. On the cross, Jesus not only bore our sin, but he became it so that it could be taken away from us, so that it could be nailed to the cross, so that it could be gone forever. It's one of those, you know, you are what you eat kind of scenarios. If you eat all the food that the church gives you, you'll gain 30 pounds. You know, it's that was a joke toward me, but obviously no one got it. anyway, but you know, it's one of those things that, you know, Jesus, even though he became that, we don't see him as that because of how pure and how wonderful and how humble and how willing he was. Jesus, having taken away sin and nailing it to the cross, he made it possible for us to not have to carry that sin. He made it possible for us not to have to carry that burden. Jesus didn't die for us to mourn his death every time we come to worship. Yes, he died for us to remember him. But he died on the cross because he loved us. Because he wanted us to have the joy which we can only have by being in him. He died so that we would be freed from the bondage of sin. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all these things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, we have life. We have victory. There's no separation. There's no ill feelings. There's no reason to be away from God. There's not even death in Christ, but it's life eternal. We can only separate ourselves from God unless we do so by our own will. Victory is not a one-time thing. It's not an emotional high, and it's not a one-man team. There are many things that victory is not. So what is victory? Victory. If we look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Victory is a new life. Our new life can begin by overcoming the world. You know, we tend to hold a lot of faith, I think, and or at least we hope a lot and we pray a lot that our government is going to drive us in a direction that is toward God. But that is not their goal. Their goal is not to be for God and everything and everything that is to be done. This government, any government that's in the world today, is not only in the world, but it's of the world. We can overcome the world by being in the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. By living it for the one who will forever and does forever govern our lives and is forever the judge of our lives. By obeying him and being faithful to him. So how do we attain this new life? John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, with Jesus and Nicodemus here. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We want this new life. We need to be born again. But this time, with water and the Spirit. You can take a plunge to victory in that cleansing flood that consists of water, in which while doing so, your belief and your faith and your confession of Jesus' name before man is what brings the Spirit into your life. That Spirit seals that promise of eternal life to you when you're baptized. The victory is in life anew. But it doesn't stop there. We said before that victory is not just a one-time thing. It's not just a one-time occasion. While there is victory in being baptized, and while that is how you profess Christ and how you put him on in baptism and become his child and be born again, going back to 1 John chapter 5, I want us to continue after verse 4, 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 12. It says, "Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. the one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Victory is a new life. But victory is also progressing in your substance as a Christian. It's progressing in your faith. It's progressing in the truth and progressing in the knowledge of God. In order to progress in this, in our faith, in the truth, and in the knowledge, we need to overcome the world. We need to be baptized. We need to testify of God and his Son. And we need to keep Jesus in our lives. We need him. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." And then James chapter 2, verses 24 and 26, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." It's faith that obeys. Your faith that convinces you that the works that you do is because you love God. And you love the people around you enough to give them the truth in which God has presented to you and the truth that you know. Victory. It doesn't stop at baptism. But it progresses through our faithful works that are for Christ. It's something that constantly needs to be worked on and worked for. I said earlier in the lesson that we have some great opportunities that are coming up to work for the Lord's church. Works that will not only encourage us, but will help us to reach the lost and encourage those who need saving. Us, as the congregation that meets in Greenbrier, cannot gain the victory individually, but only if we work together to be the best Christians that we can be. The good news is that our eternal destiny is in our own hands. We can choose whether to be saved, whether to not be saved. We can choose whether to be faithful or not to be faithful. We can choose to believe in him, we can choose not to. We can choose to do the work or not. Your eternal destiny is in your hands. God is the judge of it. But for right now, he's given us control of what our answer is going to be. If we attempt to save ourselves, to win the victory by just our good deeds and our moral conduct, we're going to lose. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." Are we unclean? Are we easily pushed? Are we easily rocked? Are we easily blown away by things that are wrong and things that have the ability to keep us from ever accepting the righteous and the cleansing and forgiving blood of our Savior. Don't lose because you stuck to your own opinions and to your own ideas. Gain the victory because you stuck to what God desires and what God wills for His church. If we will submit to Jesus, be born again, and live a life of faith, we are promised by a God who cannot lie that we will have the victory. The choice is up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to the person sitting next to you. It's not up to any influence, but it's your decision to be a Christian, to be the worker for the Lord that you know you need to be. If you're not a Christian, then you're lacking that victory in which you know is only accomplished by completing and fulfilling in that promise that the Lord has given, by being washed in that cleansing flood that forever takes away the sins in which He has already paid the price for. If you're willing and wanting to do that tonight, we can help you to do that. Or if there are those of you who are saved or are Christians, or even you're not, but even if you're contemplating becoming a Christian, or even or just hurting and you need help, we're willing to pray for you and with you and willing to help you in any way. If there's anything we can do for any of you, please come as we stand and sing.